organic marketing is dead. Now, Rory, that sounds like clickbait. I know a bunch of people who get great results with organic marketing. And you know what? You're right. But my question for you is, were they already successful? And that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the Big Picture Business Podcast. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and how it makes decisions, hacking the algorithm, priming the pixel, ranking factors that determine your exposure. And we're also going to show you how to win at online marketing.
Is organic marketing really, truly dead? Because we hear this a lot. And well, we're going to let you be the judge of that right off the bat, Rory. Let's just talk about artificial intelligence in general and how does that affect day-to-day marketing in business?
So I think the first thing to determine is like, what is artificial intelligence? Okay. And in the world of marketing and in social media, we usually refer to it as the algorithm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds less ominous, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The algorithm. Sounds fancy.
Yeah. But really what its job is to do is to segment content that is thrown at it because there's so much content being posted online that it's determining, is this something that this specific audience would be interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a bunch of ranking factors. We're going to talk about what those ranking factors are in a little bit. If we're looking at how AI works, like if this is a scale from top to bottom, if you're watching the video, you could actually see my hand here. And this, the content is coming in and it's determining whether it's going to suppress that information or give exposure to that information.
Mm-hmm.
It happens often. It happens quickly, meaning that it starts ranking your information right away, and it's got a set of parameters that it's looking for. And the thing to remember about AI is that it is emotionless. So it doesn't care if your mom likes it. It doesn't care how passionate about it you are.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the decisions without emotion. And so you have to realize that when you're marketing and when you're putting content out online, these decisions are being made. And so why are we saying organic marketing is dead? Organic marketing, we're not saying it's completely dead. What we're saying is it's dead for people who are just starting out because you don't have the ranking factors that it's looking for when that information is being sent to it. The AI then just starts suppressing your information.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
And it's challenging to compete with these people who've been in the game for a long time too, maybe in a similar niche market where you're looking at what they've done. You're thinking, well, I'm doing something similar. How come I can't get to that level? A lot of it has to do with how the artificial intelligence, the algorithm is ranking certain aspects of their content and your content. You know, are you doing something different? Are they doing something different? It's very interesting to look at our competitors, right? And to see what is actually happening there. I think in large part because there is so much, as Rory and I talk about, noise happening on the internet. I mean, because of COVID, I think every single person and their mother at this point is online trying to reinvent themselves or do something new. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just a lot of stuff that's online. And so AI has to filter through all that and go, who's getting the most views? Are they organic or not? What makes sense? How can we get the rankings up more? So it means more money to fuel these platforms, to fuel the overall algorithm. So it is kind of a game. Do you agree, Rory? It's kind of like an algorithm game here.
Yeah. And something to keep in mind also is that every platform has a different algorithm.
Yes.
And set of ranking factors that it's looking for. So whether it's YouTube, mm-hmm. whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether it's LinkedIn, or even Google, organic search engine optimization marketing, mm-hmm. they all have their different algorithms that they're looking for, and their different ways of going about stuff. So you can't approach every platform in the same way. You have to understand how algorithms work on each platform in order to even have a chance of hacking the algorithm, which we'll get into also in a minute.
So one day you might have, posted something that you thought was oh so funny, And then a week from then, all of a sudden, it's getting zero traffic. It's because the algorithm has shifted and we have to shift with it and learn how these things work. Anytime I'm working with my clients, one of the first things that I address across all social media platforms is we have to feed into the algorithm. But before that, we also talk about how important it is to provide value in your content. So value and social proof can go even further than the algorithm, right? So the whole goal around this is to talk about how we can sort of outsmart the algorithm, but it's really important to understand that the algorithm plays a massive role here. So like Rory said, it doesn't care who likes what you're posting, right? It's just going to look at what's getting the most traffic or not. So if you can outsmart that by providing excellent content, you will win every time.
Well, I want to counter that and say Ooh. That you can have great content, but if you don't have the ranking factors that it's looking for, you may be pleasing your audience, but you're not pleasing the algorithm. And it's a fine balance between doing both. Sure. So we always say start with great content, put out great content, because the people who do find you are going to engage with you mm-hmm. and that'll build your foundational audience. Mm-hmm. But you also have to do other things to meet the requirements of what the algorithms are looking for. And so this is where a lot of people get hung up, where they say, oh, I'm just going to start a YouTube channel, or I'm just going to start running Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And they have no presence online. And they're like, I'm going to be, you know, the next superstar in the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. And maybe someone's pitching that to them, and so they think it's possible, or they see these channels that have this explosive growth.
Right.
You know, maybe they went from 100,000 followers to 1 million in 6 months or something. And they, you know, like sometimes we get in our heads and think, oh, I can do that too. I can do that too. Even if I just, you know, go from 0 to 100,000, it would be great. The problem is getting from 0 to 100,000 is 100 times harder than getting from 100,000 to 1 million.
Mm-hmm. What you just said is so important, and I really want to drive that home for people. What Rory is talking about is it is so much more challenging to get from 0 to 100 for simple math than it is to go from 100 to 500. So remember that if you're in those beginning stages, be patient. Things will happen. It will take off if you stay the course and if you are consistent. So if all of a sudden you start a YouTube channel and you're like, why isn't anyone coming? You need to start playing into the algorithm and be consistent about it. So again, way more challenging to go from 0 to 100 than it is from 100 to 1 million. Okay. So
yeah. And this is not only just with organic posting. So, you know, this is what we've been talking about here is like, okay, well, you're posting content online. That's what we're referring to in organic marketing is, mm-hmm. you know, you post it and you optimize your title and your description for the keyword. You know, if you've been, you know, marketing online at all, you probably know what we're talking about when we talk about this. The problem is that everyone's doing it. Everyone is pulling from the same playbook. Everyone is optimizing their titles. They're, you know, if it's on YouTube, it's they're optimizing their thumbnails, they're optimizing their descriptions. That makes a difference. And sometimes it can get you a little bit of exposure that you wouldn't have necessarily gotten without it. But if the other ranking factors aren't there, again, the algorithm looks at it and it suppresses it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why someone who has a large following can get continued exposure for the videos that they put out. And that's when organic marketing starts working really well.
Right.
Because they've already built up the algorithm to say, this is the type of thing that we're putting out. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes more about, is the audience engaging with it or not? Because you may say, oh, well, some people, they have 1 million views on this one video, but they have, you know, 1,000 on this other one. Why is that? Well, that's the algorithm's doing its job at that point, but whatever the content of that video didn't resonate with the audience that person has.
Right. There's so many factors that go into it. Classic example is if you're posting about current events, that may rank higher versus posting about your cat, you know? So you have to look at like globally what is happening as well, because it may play into the algorithm. So Rory, let's talk about some of the ways that we can hack the algorithm. What do you got in mind?
Yeah, well, first you have to understand what ranking factors are, okay? Mm-hmm. So when the algorithm's looking at something, okay, what does it do? It says, okay, well, how many views has this video had in a specific amount of time in certain, you know, on certain platforms? It could be in the first 20 minutes, mm-hmm. The first hour, the first 24 hours, 48 hours. It's constantly looking at these factors. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, is it getting views? Is it getting likes and dislikes? Mm-hmm. Is it getting comments? Is it getting too many dislikes? If it's mm-hmm. getting too many dislikes, then it's going to start suppressing it. How many subscribers or followers does this person have who put out this video?
YouTube is the big one right now. Like, it will pay attention to you, right? If you've received 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours, that equals monetization for YouTube. So that's something that they're going to pay attention to as well.
Yeah. So, you know, we can kind of go through the different platforms and things to look for, but specifically with YouTube, you want to get monetized. You know, that is one of the bigger ranking factors, and you got to think about this. What is YouTube want? They want to sell advertising.
Yep.
If you can't run ads on your channel, they don't want to show your videos to people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get monetized, which means 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 watch hours within 12 months. And then you have to get 4,000 hours of watch time every 12 months mm-hmm. to keep it monetized.
Yep.
Right. And you're like, oh, that's a lot. It is a lot.
It is.
It's a lot of watch time. And that's why we talk about organic marketing being dead, is because you can't do that organically if you're only getting 30 views of your video that you're putting up.
Right.
Like I said, we're going to share some strategies for hacking into that, but you have to have the right mindset going in, knowing what you're up against and knowing that, you know, one out of 1,000 may hit the right timing, the right audience, and the right market, you know, like the right message.
Yeah.
For that market, and get a video that just goes viral. And it may be 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 100,000, that happens with. But what about everyone else? What can you do?
All right. So here are the top 3 strategies for hacking the algorithm. Number 1, priming. We have to prime some things. And really big on this is priming the pixel. We've talked about this before. If you guys don't know what a pixel is, Rory, what's a pixel?
A pixel is a little tracker that is placed on websites that sends a signal back to the different platforms, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn,
Google,
Instagram,
whatever it might be. Google. Yeah, it's a little snippet of code.
Whatever platform it is, everyone has their version of a pixel and a Correct. Way of tracking. And what it's doing is it's saying you took an action, and now we're going to send that action that you took back to the ad platform so that we can determine what we need to do next with advertising.
Right. I feel like it is one of the biggest losses when I work with people, when I ask them, hey, can I get your login for Google Analytics or whatever analytics, you know, business, Facebook, whatever it might be. And they go, pixel, what are you talking about? It's like, oh my gosh, like, are you serious? You haven't pixeled any of these people?
And then you find out that they've been running ads for like 2 years without a pixel.
Yeah. It's like, what are you running ads to? You know? So yeah, it's amazing how important it is to prime your target demographic, people that are going to be looking at what you want them to be looking at. You can take that information that they have opted in for and use it to your advantage to help hack the algorithm. Okay. So that's number one. Big deal.
So let's talk about what priming the pixel means and why it's so important. So what this means is that you have to give the right information to the pixel in the beginning about who you are wanting to be marketing to,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that it can make the proper decisions and let the algorithm, the AI, eventually take over and send you consistently send you the right traffic you're looking for. Now, there's other sides to this as well. Not only are you looking to send it the right information, but you need to send the right signals to the advertising company that you're legitimate. And so you can't just go in and drop like $1,000 on day one of your advertising.
Well, you could, because, but it'd be
well, you could, but it's a very, very, very bad idea because you're just throwing that $1,000 away, and you're getting you're going to get the wrong traffic to set in place what the algorithm is going to eventually be looking for. First off, when you start running advertising, is don't start running advertising. You're actually going to post some organic content to show that your account is legitimate, and you're going to actually go and use the account as if you are a user of the account. So what does that mean? So if you set up a Facebook ad account, you need to add your credit card. The credit card needs to be in the same zip code as where your IP address is, which means where you actually are logging into your computer from.
I've never heard that, really.
Oh yeah. So we're going to talk about some like advanced tips here that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else.
Listen, I've been running Facebook ads for years and I've never heard that one. So that's very good information.
Yeah, because these are the things on the back end that Facebook's looking for to see, like, are you legitimate or are you a scammer? Okay. Now, the other thing is posting organic content. That means, and using Facebook in a way that that someone naturally would. And that's why we say don't start running ads on day one. Make some posts. Go and like things. Interact with people, other accounts, add friends. Do the things that people, that when you're starting a normal Facebook account, that you would normally do, right? This sets up so that when Facebook is looking at the account, that they're like, oh, this is legit. Now, the other thing is that you don't want to just start sending ads that are for conversion. The first type of ad you should set up is a like campaign. And there's two reasons for this. You want to spend probably about $100 to $200 on a like campaign. You're going to start probably about $20 a day. So like I said, we're getting, you know, very strategic here, but I want you to get some really good value out of this. Okay, so start with $20 a day, start tapering it back after that, pulling back your ad spend all the way down to a dollar, and then you never turn that like campaign off. You're going to target the audience that you want, okay? And this will start priming the pixel. It starts setting up everything in the ad account that you're looking for. Okay, so you know, regardless if you're paying, you know, 10 cents for a like or a dollar a like, it doesn't matter so much. It's just getting the momentum going, okay? Then after that, that's when you can start doing other types of advertising. But you've got to get that foundation there first, because Facebook is looking at certain factors, and it's not only Facebook. I'm using Facebook in this example, but they're looking at certain factors that say, is this a legitimate person? Are they looking to scam the system? There's also I think it was in the last year where they added this in, where they put certain windows on and caps on what you can do in the ad account when it's first built. And when you first sign up.
Yes.
So you have to keep that in mind. Now, the downside is that you don't want to do things that are going to get you potentially banned. So how do you prevent, you know, we hear like people's Facebook ad accounts getting shut down. Mm-hmm. What causes that? Well, what usually causes it is that people created ads in their account. They got denied, and then they left them in the account without removing them. Facebook changes their policy. They rescan all of their accounts against their new policy. And even if that ad is turned off, you never ran it in the first place. Like, say you just mocked it up and just were like, nope, I'm not going to use that. It got disapproved, whatever it is. If it's sitting in the account, they can shut your account down, and they most likely will, because I've seen it happen many times. So what do you have to think about? Well, you know, if your account gets banned, what does that mean? Well, it means the credit card that was attached to that account, the computer that was attached to that account, the IP address, meaning your internet service provider, where you get your internet from, that's, you know, sends that to your house. All of those things are tracked. So you have to get a new credit card, new computer, and a new internet service in order to get a new Facebook account or ad account. Am I blowing your mind?
I've never heard of any of this because I've never seen it. And none of this sounds even real.
No, this is the black hat.
Wow.
Because I looked into what are the black hat people doing to get around it. Now they go even, so this is why we look at the what are they doing to set up the accounts, because they want to appear as real as possible. Now that's where they diverge and they go off the rails, because what they'll do is they'll start using link cloakers and they'll make a post and they'll set up a link cloaker. And when someone from Facebook, like they'll have it geo-targeted so that someone who is, you know, coming from Facebook is doing is looking at that ad, it'll send them to one sales page. And when it's someone else going to another, to, you know, like the average ad's just running and it's someone, you know, like in another state or something, then it'll show the ad that they want them to see, which is, you know, their scam or whatever it is.
So you're telling me that I cannot accept my clients' credit cards because I live in Colorado. I can't enter in their credit cards and run their ad accounts for them. That does not seem correct to me.
Well, you can. But what I'm saying is that you're not setting up the account from scratch for them, are you?
I've done that many times for my clients. Yeah.
Are you using their address?
Yes, of course.
Exactly. So you're using their address and you're using their credit card.
Oh,
so those are okay. In alignment.
But what you said is that if the IP does not match, because my IP is not going to match their address. So
no, well, no. So it can cause an issue, okay. But not as big of an issue as if the, like, say your address was in Florida and your credit card was in California. That would be a red flag more so than the IP, because people know that, you know, you're logging in from different areas. But the IP would also match in the same state. And the way they'll get around it is what they'll do is they'll use a VPN access from the same city that the credit card is from. And that's how they like get around it. And they don't use real Visa credit cards or anything like that. So that's essentially what priming the pixel is. And part of that is also what you're doing is you're training the algorithm. So you're training the algorithm to look for the audience that you want. Okay. So that's really hack number two, is that if you give the algorithm what it wants and start showing it, these are the type of people I want sent to me. Not in the beginning, but eventually it's going to pick up on that and start sending you more and more of those people. The big mistake that people make is what they go out and they say, oh, I just need to build up my following, so I'm gonna get a bunch of people from India or whatever to like my page, because they're really, really cheap clicks. But that's actually a mistake, because it's not giving the right information to the algorithm, and so it's just gonna send you more of that.
It's super, super good advice. Do not buy the cheap click farm likes or shares or whatever it might be, because when you actually go to run ads, like Roy is talking about, the algorithm's going to be so confused. They're like, wait a minute. So you're in San Diego, California, but you don't want all these people from India or wherever, you know, in these third world countries that you may or may not want in traffic from. So it's very confusing for the algorithm and for your business. So even though you might not be getting the immediate gratification from the traffic you're really wanting, do not go out and buy it. Very, very important. Do legit advertisement. You can find certain services that you can actually, like, you know, make sure you know where the traffic is coming from. If it's all from the US, things like that, you can go to Fiverr and you can purchase like a super legit review, someone in the US that's what they do for a living, you know, for whatever business or service you have. But just really, just be so cautious when someone's like, I can get you 10,000 followers for $20. Because it will, in the long run, your account is
in 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then your account gets flagged and you get all these bots on your account and you can get shut down for that.
Yes.
There are a ton of services out there that do these types of things, and they all look great on the surface. Everyone says these same things. They say, this is organic. These are real people, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time, it's not. 9 out of 10 of those services are not legitimate and don't actually provide what you think that they are providing. How then do you actually get traffic? How do you build up your likes and your subscribers and your views and all of this stuff that are, you know, the ranking factors that were that the AI is looking for? And hack number three, buying the algorithm. Okay. So what that means is that you're going to actually use advertising to boost those numbers, targeted advertising. So this is why we say that organic marketing is dead, is because so much of everything with these platforms today, because they sell advertising, is pay to play.
Yeah.
So majority. So you can't really just jump in and say, I'm going to be the next big thing, or this is going to like grow my business, if you don't have money to invest. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's, there's so many people who will say, oh yes, you can do it. You can do it. And yes, you can. But it takes, I mean, do you have 3 to 5 years to grow that channel up, you know, or that YouTube channel or that Facebook page up to what you want and still be able to stay in business? I mean, most people know. So how do you get around that? And you have to actually buy the advertising to get those numbers up. Because once you get those numbers to what the algorithm is looking for and you get the right targeted audience, then it starts expanding your reach. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to see things blow up. That's when you go from where you go from 100,000 to 1 million followers in a year.
But here's the thing to be cautious about as well. Even if you have, let's say, you know, $1 million to spend on ad spend, if you don't know how to target properly, or if you aren't familiar with the algorithm at all, you're just like, hey, here's a ton of money. I'm going to put down an advertisement and just hope for the best. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get. So you still have to play into the algorithm and work with it and see what's going on. I see that time and time again. Clients come to me and they say, here's a massive chunk of change. Let's run some ads. But if you haven't done these steps, if you haven't primed the pixel, if you haven't looked at the ranking factors and determined how you're going to be gaining exposure and all these sorts of things, then the money is kind of useless. So you need to do these appropriate steps to gain the success you're really looking for. So I would avoid plunking down tons of cash and just saying, here we go. So make sure you're following these steps, you know, to get to that level.
Yeah. And to expand on that, scale up, start small with your advertising. That's how you start feeding the algorithm. Because, you know, we've talked about this before. You can drop $1,000 or $10,000 a day on ads, especially Facebook, where what they'll do is they'll send you traffic because they're like, we're taking your money.
Oh, they'll take it.
That's it. You know, yeah, you want to spend this money, we'll take it. We'll give you traffic. It just won't be good traffic. Won't be the traffic you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And this is, we've known, there was a whole article that came out about this, about how Facebook doesn't give the right metrics and track and information about audiences and doesn't even necessarily always send the right audience mm-hmm. to people. We've known this. Dominica and I have known this for years, and our workaround has always been slowly scaling up to allow the algorithm to understand what it is we're looking for.
Correct.
So that's our suggestion to you. If you're getting started, you're going to slowly scale up. Mm-hmm. Once the algorithm knows what you're looking for, then you can allow it to take over and do its job. But if it's getting the wrong information, or you just drop a bunch of cash and it'll take your money and you'll get a bunch of traffic that you don't want.
Exactly. Google AdWords is a really good example of that. We see that a lot, where people are dropping lots of money on it and it's just not targeted. Traffic is not created equal, my friends. It's very different. It's so important to know what the heck you're spending your money on if you're going to go this route.
Yeah. The other side of it is you may be saying, okay, well, then what am I supposed to do organically? Well, that comes down to, you've still got to do all of the things like keyword research and using the right keywords, titles, descriptions, et cetera, you know, and then the things that are going to capture people's attention, but you've got to have good content. It all comes back to that, because if you can advertise, but if your content sucks, you're still not going to get the traffic you're looking for.
Exactly.
So it's playing this double game. The first game is like great content, and the second game is giving the algorithm what it needs and using advertising to get there. And so you're always doing these, this back and forth of, you know, of balancing what the audience is looking for that's going to interact with them, and also playing the algorithm game of feeding it the numbers and the ranking factors that it's looking for.
Yeah. And just real quick, I think this is a super important tip. Every single comment, if you're doing this through social media, every single comment that you receive has to be responded to in a timely manner to help feed into the algorithm. So if you all of a sudden post a video and you get, let's say, 50 comments, respond to every single one so that the algorithm understands you're there, you're feeding into it.
As soon as those comments come in, you need to have apps on your phone that, you know, and it sucks to have all these notifications come in all the time, but this is part of, you know, what you're doing to grow your business and your social media presence, then you need to be on top of this. And those comments come in, you need to be responding right away. Because like we said, the algorithm, I mean, we've seen this. We put videos up, it'll go on the front page of YouTube for 20 minutes. Yeah, and if it doesn't get the engagement looking for, it's off.
Yeah.
And it drops down to like 200 on the page.
Yep.
Right? So these are the things you have to think about is if it's looking for certain ranking factors, then you need to play into that and understand it and give it to it as best as you can. The timing of your release matters, of when you're putting it out, because let's say your audience only watches your videos at, say, 7 a.m. Well, if you put out your video at 11 p.m. at night, you've got an 8-hour window of nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
So really paying attention to and knowing these things, like, you know, it's really easy to put up and say, okay, well, I'm done and now I'm going to bed. But what you actually have to do is schedule your video to go out when you need it to go out. You know, I'm using YouTube in this example, or you have to post it on Facebook or Instagram at the appropriate time when your audience is going to be there. And if you don't have much of an audience, then when your advertising is going to go out and start driving traffic to it.
Now you might be asking, well, I don't know my time. Like, when do I post? Because I don't know. It's different for every account. It's different for every type of brand, every type of business. There's like a standard format of like, don't do things Monday morning for certain companies, but that might not be where you fall. So you can actually look on like Instagram and Facebook, and it will show you when the height of activity actually takes place on your account. And so let's say it's Sunday afternoons at like 4 p.m. your time. You'll know, okay, great. That's when I need to schedule posts. So do some research into these tools that these platforms actually have. They provide them to you. They're very easy to find. You just have to dig a little bit into your actual account settings, and then you'll know, oh, wait a minute. You know, the majority of my traffic's coming from the West Coast, and the demographic is, you know, maybe male between ages 25 and 40, and they love my posts at Tuesday at 2 o'clock, you know? So it's, you can get this knowledge once you've gotten the ball rolling in the account, and it might change. So don't just assume that it's going to be like that all the time. But something else I wanted to mention that Rory touched on a little bit is having these apps on your phone might be really annoying, these push notifications, but I think of it like reputation management. If somebody was saying something about you, you'd want to know what they were talking about immediately, right? So put these apps on your phone, make sure you know exactly who's commenting at what time, when, and you can just comment back really quick. It could be a quick thank you. It could be a simple call to action. It could be some engagement. Whatever it is, it still plays into the algorithm, because all they want is the majority of time you're spending and your target demographic is spending and interacting with you. That's the number one thing they're going to look at. How long are they staying? And that is what the algorithm will favor. So think about that when you're creating content. How long are they checking your content out for?
Yeah, it's huge. And that's why keeping people engaged is so important, especially on, I mean, it doesn't matter what platform it is, because all they're looking for is stay on this platform. Yeah. YouTube, for example, really, really heavily factors how long videos are watched. Are they watched all the way through? So the really good quote-unquote YouTubers, if you watch their videos, what they're doing is they're telling stories through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And the anytime that something could potentially jump off, they're adding in another thing to hook you back in. Or I want to see this till the end to see the payoff. That's how they're getting people to stick with them through that whole video, you know, where it may be a 15 or 20 minute video that people are watching. And YouTube really heavily weighs that. It's it's part of how you get monetized, is that you need to have long watch times. And once that happens, so, you know, here's a couple of hacks maybe you may not have know about or have heard about. Okay. So one of them for YouTube, okay, is that once you get monetized, once you have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours of on your channel within a 12-month period, you can get monetized. Okay. That will actually, by turning monetization on, it will actually help
you do that ahead of time.
Your videos rank better.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that something that YouTube's really promoting right now is posts. Like, it's like these little short blog posts that you can do, but you can't do that until you reach those requirements. You have to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours to reach that. Because 1,000 subscribers to do the posts. But yeah, but you want to go for both, because it's really important. The other thing is with Facebook. Now, there's no written rule about this. Okay. We've just noticed this, is that if you can get your Facebook page that is attached to your ad account past 5,000 likes, that'll actually drop your ad costs. So if you can do that, and that's what, you know, part of, you know, starting a like campaign start from the beginning as well, is and continuing it, is just build up those likes. Because once you get past that and you start seeing your ad cost drop, that's just like a little hack that, you know, you save a little bit of money. Now, it may not be drastic, but it's all these little factors. And, you know, these platforms and don't tell you these things. These are just found out by really smart people who are running advertising, and they figure these things out. And, you know, we're just, you know, some of the things we figured out ourselves, some of it we've learned from other people who have shared these things with us. And we're very fortunate to be in that position where we get this information shared with us, but we're sharing it with you so that you can, you know, start to understand that these algorithms and these things that they set up, these platforms are looking for, it's designed to really, I don't want to go conspiracy theory, but it's designed to suppress people who are just starting out. Let's look at like the reason for it. Like, why is AI like this? Okay. And it's, the reason is that it's designed by humans. AI is designed by humans. And as humans, we have this natural tendency to give weight to things and to people who've had success previously, regardless if that's true or if it's even a good idea. And so there's been studies done on the psychology of this, is that as we as humans have these biases, we implant that bias into the AI. So it's really looking at it from the point of view of someone who is determining if something is going to be viable in the future or not. So I want you to think of it like this, okay? Say you're evaluating two businesses to purchase, okay? Now, one of them has a great idea, a great business plan, but in the last year, they only made $500, okay? This other business that you're evaluating, it's just an average idea, but they're making $1 million a year, okay? Now, let's put you on the spot and say, which one would you purchase, given all things the same? And let's say they were even the same price to purchase. You're probably going to go with the $1 million one, because you already see the results. Regardless of if the potential for the one that only made $500 last year is to make $100 million. And this is the psychology that gets put into the AI. So if it's not seeing the numbers that it wants, and it takes all of the emotion that we as humans have out of it, then you're left with these types of results of it only looking very analytically at the numbers and the ranking factors and saying, okay, this is going to go great with this audience. This is not going to go. And we're going to test, you know, sometimes they'll like we talked about, they'll test it a little bit. And if it's not getting the traction in 10 or 20 minutes, gone. So once you're aware of this, you can start working with the algorithm.
That's the whole goal. We want to work with the algorithm, not against the algorithm. Because if you do, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's just the reality of where we're at in history, you know? So don't be upset over this. It's just what it is. And if you want to play ball, well, this is where we're at.
All right. So now the question is, well, how do you win at online marketing?
Some happy stuff.
So that's what we're going to go through. Yeah.
It's not all doom and gloom, we swear.
I know. So you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. All right. So, Dominica, how do you win at online marketing?
Okay. So the number one thing that comes to mind for me with how to win with online marketing really comes down to your brand. You guys know this at this point. I'm a brand geek. I love all that is branding. And it really comes down to brand positioning. So think about this, like with how much noise there is online, right? We know there's billions of people online. So be thinking about this. How does your brand stand out from your competition? Okay. And how is it positioned in your target market? Does it make sense? Is it connecting? Is it reaching the correct target audience that you're really going for? So be thinking about your brand. Super, super important. A lot of people just come up with something that they might like the way it looks. Like, this is our brand, I guess. And they put it out into the world and just assume it's going to fly. It's going to do something. But you just don't know until testing takes place. We're not going to get into how to do testing with this episode. We've done that.
We have a whole episode on building a personal brand.
Yes.
So check that out.
Yes. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll link it right here. So you can go watch that if you want to. We'll have it in the notes below. But it's so important to actually, you know, take action and do that. What else, Rory? What else do we have on how to win at online marketing?
Well, one of the biggest things for me, and it goes into building your brand, is the positioning of how you position yourself online. Things that I found effective are getting featured in the media and then being able to use the media logos as part of your marketing, because it sets you apart from most other people who don't have that type of exposure, can't get it.
Right.
And you know, I'm super, super huge on becoming a number one international best-selling author, because being an author, having a book, it's a tool you can utilize in your business, but the credibility that comes from just being able to say you're number one international bestseller tends to set you apart and tends to get people to listen to you. If you can do that and you can make that part of building your business, you're going to really set yourself up for success. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways, and we've mentioned this, but there's so many different ways that you can utilize a book as a tool in your business. That's what it should be used for. It should be used as a tool. Don't expect to write a book, get it published and become a millionaire. No, like use it as a tool. And Rory and I were talking about this earlier, where I used to spend thousands of dollars a month on my own advertisement for my marketing agency. But now I haven't spent a dollar on any actual ad spend. I haven't had to ever since my book was released. Since I became a number one international best-selling author, I actually have a wait list now. So be thinking about it in those terms. Like it's so worth the investment to do a book. I cannot say that enough. And I'm not just saying that because it's Rory's business. I'm serious. I'm serious here. I'm saying that because the value that I've received from it is just, I mean, it's something that I didn't even think could ever really happen. It's been incredible. So if you're in a position where you can actually, you know, write a book, use it as a tool for your business, or if you already have written a book and you're not utilizing that as a tool, highly recommend you do it.
Yeah. And if you need help with that aspect, I mean, feel free to reach out. I mean, we'll have some links on the website and YouTube and all that stuff, but make these things happen. You know, it kind of reminds me, you know, what you're talking about, like not having to pay for advertising and getting to that point. It reminds me of how, like, when celebrities go to the Oscars and stuff, and it's like, well, they've already got millions and millions and millions of dollars in the bank and all these things, but they get given the clothes that they're wearing for free. They they get these gift bags that are worth tens of thousands of dollars for free. And you're like, oh, well, why are they doing that? Well, that's part of what happens with success. Success brings other benefits mm-hmm. to your life that you don't always realize until you've actually reached that point. I'm just giving this as an example, is that when you get to that point and you have that stuff coming in, your advertising dollars, you may even see dropping less and less and less because you're not fighting as much through the noise because you've already set yourself apart, especially if you position yourself properly from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. So big deal. Positioning is huge.
How are you standing out from your competition? Okay. So we talked about that as part of your brand, but also like, what are you actively doing to set yourself apart? How are you
personally?
With your customers and also with your messaging.
Yeah.
You sound like everyone else, mm-hmm. you know, especially I see this happen all the time with like online marketing where it's like everyone is just doing some version of Russell Brunson's.
Yes.
Stuff, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which
and Russell's great thing. And his information is great, you know, but it's not for everyone, mm-hmm. first off. It's not for every market.
Yeah.
But if you are just exactly copying everyone else and not making something your own and figuring out your own systems and your own ways of doing things, mm-hmm. you're just parroting that. Well, then people will just go to Russell Brunson and not you.
100%. And we see this sometimes. People will send us their information to potentially be on the podcast, but there's nothing that has separated them from the other person that did. We're looking for these unique things to be featured so that you guys can get the best possible information. And that person may have had the best possible information, but they didn't position themselves correctly for us to go, yeah, that looks awesome. So be very, very aware of that. Don't just regurgitate what looks good that someone else has already done. You know, be authentic, be unique.
Yeah, and we both have made this mistake ourselves too.
Oh, and that's why we're talking about it.
We're not talking, yeah. Yeah. It's not like we've never like done that. I mean,
oh, no.
is to adjust very quickly if you realize that your stuff is too similar and you need to create your own method around it and mm-hmm. own systems.
Learn from our mistakes, as I always say.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how are you engaging the audience that you have? Like, I feel like this is really important because it can be very easy to dismiss the fact that you only have 10 people subscribe to your YouTube channel, or you've only got 100 likes or followers on mm-hmm. Facebook or Instagram. But those are real people. Those are people who are saying, I want more of what you've got. Something connected with them. Mm-hmm. So then your job is to engage them. So this is about being consistent with the content you're putting out, mm-hmm. creating dialogue with people, building relationships. And like we talked about earlier, commenting.
Big deal.
It's not only for the algorithm. It's to show people that you actually care. So when you actually comment, don't just say like, thanks or great or whatever. I mean, occasionally sometimes that might be an appropriate response, but like really pay attention to what they're saying and give them, you know, valuable information back, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You may not now, like I know that when you start getting a ton of this stuff coming in, you're like, how am I going to keep up with it?
Well, there's services for that. Whole other episode.
There's services for that. You can start building out teams of people to help answer these questions on your behalf, and mm-hmm. you give them guidelines and build systems around how to do that. But in the beginning, it's going to be you, and you're going to have to put in the time. You're going to have to do this. And so this comes down to one of the things I really want to point out is that you need to choose one platform to build and understand it at a deeper level. And I'd recommend you choosing the one that you use the most and that you like the most. Like if you're on Facebook 3 hours a day and none of the other platforms, then focus on Facebook and figure out how to make that work. Not saying don't post stuff on the other ones, but just don't make it your focus. Like every platform requires its own type of communication, has its own expectations, its own algorithms. So if you're trying to do all of it, it's going to be way too overwhelming. I mean, we only focus on like realistically probably two platforms, and that is overwhelming, but there's two of us.
Right.
Right. we post stuff on other platforms, but it's not optimized for those platforms. And we know that. And eventually we will, as we continue to expand what we're doing with the podcast here, for the podcast itself we're talking about, we'll start creating content that's specific for those platforms. But we still post some of the content that we've created on those platforms. It's just not optimized and for that specific platform. And you can do that. So just keep that in mind, right?
Yep. It's a really good point that you're bringing up. Go with what you know first. Okay. So just to reiterate this, go with what you know first. So if you're spending all your time on Instagram and you think your target demographics on Instagram, go with that. Instagram has this super helpful tool where it says, you want to share on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, wherever. Yes. Just post it. So it feeds into the algorithm just enough so they know you're there, like posting stuff, but you don't have to be spending all your time there if that's not where the target demographic is, right? So like Rory said, just start with what you know, spend your time there, and then you'll learn what's going to be best. Like, for example, when we go live usually we do lives either Tuesdays or Wednesdays, depending on how busy our schedule is. We'll go live, we'll talk about the episode, answer questions that you guys have sent in, and we get the majority of our traffic right now on Instagram. But we'll get a few people from YouTube and a few people from Facebook. But we know that our dominant audience is on Instagram. And that's where the majority of our followers are, because for whatever reason, that's how it worked out. So don't be surprised or disappointed if all of a sudden you're like, how come I have no traffic on Facebook? It's an algorithm thing. It's just how it's worked out and where you're spending the majority of your time.
Yeah. And we've had a huge uptick in YouTube very recently.
And,
and part of that is...
Thanks to all of you, really. So thanks.
But part of that is that Dominica focuses on Instagram and she understands that and is very tied in with what happens on Instagram. And YouTube is more where I spend my time. Mm-hmm. And so I understand how the algorithm works on YouTube and how you should position and create videos for it. Are we perfect at any of it? No. But again, we're just focused on what we're doing to grow that around this, because, you know, we've also done some of this for clients who've had phenomenal success, well beyond even what we've done, you know, with the podcast, but time plays into that as well. You know, like we said, you don't always just blow up overnight.
Yeah.
Right. So they may, you know, we may have been working on some of their stuff for like 4 or 5 years. And so of course they're going to be like way beyond what we've done with this podcast. And this podcast is not our main business. So we only have a certain amount of time that we can devote to it. So, you know, if you have the time to devote to one of these platforms, I mean, you can really set yourself apart from what's going on there. You just have to realize that you're going to be putting in some time. And that's why we say, do not try and do every single platform with this type of strategy where you're hacking the algorithm and building huge audiences. Focus on the one that you are most comfortable with and that you know that is going to get the results. And also tap into what is that platform looking for in that moment. If they come out with new things, new services and that they're doing, you know, like when Facebook Lives first came out, people were killing it. Absolutely, like getting 10x the engagement because Facebook was giving priority to that because they wanted to promote it and get it out there more.
It was also people who were brave enough to jump on it. I remember when Live came out and people were like, I'm not doing that. And everything had to be perfect. Like, is my hair good? Is my makeup good? What's good? And something that we talked about in the previous episode with Eric and Chris Martinez, they talk about this where it doesn't matter if it's your A-level stuff, B+ is great. Just get out there and do it. Just start. Like Reels became a really big thing on Instagram. And the first like 3 weeks of Reels being released, people were crushing it, getting hundreds of thousands of views organically with the algorithm, right? With the algorithm's help. But they didn't have to pay for that advertisement. Well, now that it's flooded and everyone's got their makeup perfect and their hair done and their clothes look good, it's darn near impossible to get those results people were getting in the beginning. So if you see an opportunity, get on it and just go, okay, everything might not be perfect, but I'm just going to go for it and see what happens. So you've got to take the action when these things pop up. And they will continue to pop up as time goes on. Just make sure you're doing your research and be aware of these things.
Yeah. And then so... something else that we wanted to talk about is your business is not all about you. It's actually about the impact that you're making on others.
100%.
right? So this, and what also plays into this is that you have to treat your customers exceptionally mm-hmm. when you're getting them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like do everything you can to make sure that they're happy and they're having a great experience. Now you're never going to be perfect. We've talked about this on another episode, but you have to make sure that you're doing everything to take care of them, because that one customer can spiral into a whole lot of others through referrals, through using their testimonial. I mean, it's really easy to just, like we said, you know, if you've only got, 10 subscribers or 100 people who like your page, to think, oh, that's not many people. But it is actually quite a lot. It's more than enough to build a business off of if you know what you're doing.
It's not always a numbers game. You can have 50 people on your Facebook page that could turn into millions of dollars. So be paying attention to that. And I know a lot of people who have millions of people on their Facebook page and don't make any money at all because they didn't position themselves correctly and they didn't build relationships, not transactionships, which is another episode. Not to plug all our episodes here, but that really has to do a lot with what we're talking about. So be consistent with your content. Feed and hack the algorithm, you guys. You got to feed into it, okay? And like we mentioned, you want to choose one platform that you understand, build it out, understand it at a deeper level. You want to choose the one you like the most because it's going to perform best for you, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, if that's still a thing, whatever you guys like most, you gotta go for it. And then test these ideas, test and test and test some more to see if it's going to be viable. We do a lot of testing around here, huh, Rory?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that your brain has exploded with a crap ton of information that we've put in it, remember, as we always say this, take action. Implement what you've just learned and get things out there and do what you need to do to grow your business, as long as it's ethical and isn't harming anyone. Cool. Good.
Absolutely.
Agreed. All right.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, guys. That's it for this one. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. On the next episode of the Big Picture Business Podcast, we speak with Brendan McCoy, who is the creator of the Perfect Accounting System. He has helped hundreds and hundreds of small business owners go from frustrated and almost giving up on their businesses to being completely in control of their finances just for making a few little changes. Now, there's tons of great advice and information to make your business grow in this episode. Now, in the meantime, okay, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It does actually help us with the podcast to reach a larger audience. So we'll see you in the next one.